You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's
message,
because
he really does care for me. Man, he went to Calvary's cross. He died for me. He didn't do that and say, okay, now he's on, Brother Ralph's on his own. Now I gave him the route to heaven. Now he got to take care of his own life. No, he who has begun a good work in me, he'll provide it, and he's going to prove it, and he's going to work it until the day, guess what? He comes to snatch me out of this world, and he's going to do that. So moment by moment and day by day, my God is taking care of me. Even when the prideful days when I think that I'm taking care of myself, he says, casting verse 7, all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Guys, I ask you, mark your page there, and I want us to go to a very familiar passage of scripture. In fact, we've seen it not too long ago, but we're going to look at it today as well. Romans chapter 12. If you're using a Pew Bible, that's going to be on page 985. But Romans chapter 12, and we'll begin our reading at verse 1. Very familiar. And as we read it, you'll understand what God does and how he looks at us and what he wants of us. And we are to cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. Romans 12, beginning at verse 1. Thank you, Lord. If you're there, please say amen. And Paul writes here, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. So he's writing to believers, guys. He says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, look what he says, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And he has the audacity to say, which is your reasonable service. So what he's saying is that the least you can do, that man that we wake up in the morning or whenever you get up and say, Lord, I'm awoke. I thank you for the day. I got some things, some appointments I want to run, and I got to go over here. I got to take care of that. But Lord, you might have something else for me to do, and I need to know what you want me to do. Is there somebody I need to call? Somebody needs to be encouraged. Maybe I need to hold off on going over here. Lord, you help me to carve out my day, and if my day is not going lined up like how you want it, then you change it. Help me to hear you. Help me to recognize you. Help me to understand that it's you I need to please and not even myself. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, while you're alive and well, Lord, here I am, holy, acceptable unto God. In other words, we go to him the way that he would have us to go to him, not any old kind of way, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, man, I was watching a TV show the other day, and in fact, I noticed this on a whole bunch of new TV shows. They all, you're watching it for a while, and it seems like it's going to be okay. And before you can blink, they're going to introduce somebody who's a transsexual. They're going to introduce somebody who's a homosexual couple or something. As the world is trying to inundate everybody, including believers, into their way of thinking. And he says, be not, hallelujah, conformed to this world. And by the way, there are some of those shows that I looked at and I thought they were going to be good shows, but because of the content and they keep trying to feed me the world, I shut it down. And I end up watching reruns of old movies for TMC, just movies that simply are, you don't even have to actually watch it, man. You can listen, and they're going to paint a picture, and when it's time for me to look at the TV, I hear the music go, dun, 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 and I know, oh, I better watch, because I know I don't have to try to figure out what they're doing. I don't have to try to filter out the mess, because at that time, they didn't have a whole lot of mess, and he tells me that I'm not to be conformed to this world, and by any means necessary, man, if you keep getting fed mess and garbage and filth and over, after a while you're going to say, you know, well, it's not really too bad. They're just two consenting adults. What's wrong with that? A whole lot. And I don't want to be in agreement to the things of the world. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be, look what he says, transformed. Wow. How do you do that? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, in other words, show what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And listen, if I can sit there and watch a worldly TV show and be inundated with that, and ultimately is going to change my mind that way, if I renew my mind, not with that, but with God's word, what do you think is going to happen if I do this on a regular basis? Sooner or later, I'm going to start getting it in. Sooner or later, I'm going to start believing this here, because I'll see it here in Romans. I'll see it over there in James. And I'll see it over here as God reiterates over and over and over. And I'll say, wow, God wants me to see something. And my mind is being changed from the worldly to the spiritual. And God says it's his perfect will. He goes on as Paul continues to minister. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think, he says, soberly. And first of all, we already saw in Peter, he told us to get low. So I don't need to think and make myself think that I'm higher than I am. I'm simply a man saved by God's grace. He says to think soberly. Meaning that I don't need to be under the control of no other spirit except the Holy Spirit. And if I go back to drinking like I used to, I'm going to be under the control of that and the influence of that. He says, to think highly than I ought to, according as God, again, verse 3, for I say that through the grace given unto me, every man, it says, and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, he said, but to think soberly, again, under God's control, according as God has dealt to every man. And look what he says, the measure of faith. And listen, we're all in different places in this walk. I get it. But man, you got to, at first and foremost, to hear from God, you got to know him for the pardon of your sin. You got to know that he died for you, and not just for the world, but for you personally, and that for that reason, now you want to serve him. Now you want to, for the mercies of God, present yourself to him and say, Lord, here I am, use me. But he can't use you if your mind is full of worldly things and not spiritual things. He goes on in verse 4. Guys, if you're with me, say amen. He says, for as we have many members in one body, And all members, he says, have not the same office. And listen, stay with me. He's going somewhere. He's liking the body of Christ. He's linking it to the human body. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ. And every one members, he says, one of another. And listen, again, the body of Christ, like the human body, this hand, if I cut it off, it ain't going to go walking out of the door like the TV show thing, whatever it was. It's going to die. It dies apart from the body. And he said the body of Christ has been set up in such a way where we're all gifted with different and various gifts so that the body can function and the body can run. Because nobody was designed to do all of everything in the church, which is why he has gifted different and various men and women with parts of the body in the area of giftedness. He says in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another, having then gifts, he says, differing according, look what he says, to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, he says, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And listen, he's speaking about a speaking gift, one who's a pastor that's going to expound on God's word, and we do it as God has called us and gifted us to do it. He says, on ministry, let us wait on our ministering. In other words, God's called you to do something, and listen, maybe to minister to her or minister to him, and God's called you, and when he gets you, and you know he's gifted you, then you go there, and you're obedient to him. He says, or him that teacheth, on teaching. In other words, we're not going to make a ministry. We're going to wait on God to bring us the ministry so that we can fulfill, look, his will and not my own. He says, or him that exhorteth, on exhortation. In other words, wait as God has given you. In fact, the verse says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. And again, talking about a leader, somebody that's going to lead, that he's supposed to be stick to it in this. I don't do it today and not tomorrow. I don't feel like doing it today. I'm going to go over here, but not over here. No, God says, if I called you, I'm sending you, and you go because I've equipped you. He says, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And listen, many have the gift of mercy shower. Man, they can get down in the dumps because many times they're speaking to folk, trying to cheer them up, and then they grab a hold of what they're going through, and then everybody's depressed. And he said, no, stay close to me and use your gift, but give the issue to me. Don't you try to fix it. He says, let love be without dissimulation. And that word, simply put, he's talking about hypocrisy, man. If I tell you I love you, it ought to be followed up with action. I shouldn't say I love you, and then as soon as you walk away, you hear me say, I can't stand them. No, it should be followed with action. I should show I love you. He says, abhor, and he's talking about hate, that which is evil. And he shouldn't have to say it, but he does. He says, cleave to that which is good. And Christ says, only my Father is good. So we cleave to only righteous things that are found in God. He goes on, verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And that's the Greek love, that phileo love, the city of Philadelphia got its name from there. He says, in honor, preferring one another. And by the way, guys, somebody told me one time that we ought to prefer being around our own kind. You know who our own kind is? Those that love the Lord, those who are saved, those who love Jesus, those who want to talk Jesus and walk Jesus and live Jesus. That's my own kind, and it ought to be your own kind as well if you're in Christ. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In other words, in all that we do, man, we ought to do it with everything we got. We do it on our secular jobs. There's no reason why we should not do it when we're doing the things of Christ. It should be no half-stepping. He says, rejoicing in hope. And by the way, our hope, that's verse 12, is in Christ Jesus, and we rejoice there, patient in tribulation. And again, he's reminding us that we go through some things and God's going to fix it in his time. But man, he might have me in something or in a place because he's trying to get me to learn something, and I'm being hard of learning or whatever it is. But it's going to go for as long as God says go. I should not be trying to short circuit it, because there's something he would have me to learn. And if nothing else, he wants us to learn, guess what? That God is able, even when we are not. He says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And that ought to be the first thing that comes to mind when I see you going through or I'm going through. I need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand what's happening, but I need you to know that I love you, and I need to give this concern to you. And you said you'll never leave me. You said you'll never forsake me. And I'm quoting his word back to him. But by the way, it's hard to quote back word if you don't know any word. Amen? Amen. He says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints. And by the way, if somebody has a need and you can fulfill that need, it's not, I got mine, I hope they get theirs. If I can help, man, I need the help. And I should gladly want to help. He says, giving a hospitality. In other words, being hospitable to the saints, that don't cost me nothing. He says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Uh-oh. That's what I got written in my Bible. Uh-oh. Because folk, for the most part, they don't want to go that route. And listen, that's God's way. It's not the world's way, but we are not the world. I don't care what that song says. We belong to Christ. And we follow by different rules. And guess what? We've been empowered by His Spirit to do what the world can't do. And by the way, when you're doing and conducting life your God's way, somebody's going to see you, and they might ask the question about, man, how can you be nice to that person? How can you love that unlovely person? How can you help that person? And you can tell them about the God-man, Christ Jesus, and maybe He'll bring them to faith in Him as well. He says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. He says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. In other words, man, there are folk that are way up on the pecking order, worldly pecking order. And listen, we don't give them credence or mind to them over somebody who's low. Whoever is in need, then we ought to mind them as well. In fact, he says in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And again, he humbled himself and did not have to. You mean to say me as a man can't humble myself and get low and see to the needs of someone who's hurting? And they might not even be able to give anything back to me. But I'm doing what God has called me to do. He says, be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things, he goes on, honest in the sight of all men. In other words, we need to be straight up, and we need to deal with folks straight up. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And listen, we know that it's not always possible, but we give it our best using God's Spirit to be peaceable with all men. He goes on in verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And the verse don't end there, so this is not Paul saying it. It says, saith the Lord. And listen, again, a hard one sometimes, but we got to let Him fight our battles so that we can be a blessing to the kingdom. And look, if we don't please nobody else but the Lord, guess what? You're doing okay. He says in verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, it says, give him the drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And the thought here is that, look, first of all, our true enemy is those that are working for Satan. And if we do right by them, it very well might bring them to a place when they say, man, I treated that Christian so bad. I feel so bad. And it's like coals burning on your head. And maybe it'll tweak them into wanting, number one, to apologize. And maybe to ask you about the hope that you have within yourself. Your kindness very well might cause your enemy to have shame and maybe ask you about the hope that you have in your Savior. He says in verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, and I got another little note here, Frank. It says that we are to try to love the hell out of whoever we come in contact with. That ain't by fussing and cussing, but it is by doing right by them as God sees it and by giving them the word of God. Amen. Please flip back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verse 6. Thank you, Lord. And he says here, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He goes on, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He tells us again, be sober, in other words, under the Spirit's control, be vigilant. In other words, if he's called us to do something, we need to do it and do it regularly, on a regular basis, and do it as best as we know how, surely using God and his Spirit. He says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, we need to be on our guard or in Christ always and sober in Christ always, under his control of always, because Satan is looking for any kind of loophole, any kind of quack, so he can creep in and accuse you or get you to go some way that you're not supposed to go. And he said that he walks around and he's looking to wear you down. He's looking to see who he may devour. Look, if you're a believer, he can't get you to be in his camp, but he can lead you astray and help you and mess you up so you might start messing around in his camp even though you're not there permanently. And he don't care if you're sick, if you're weak, if you're sorry, if you're heartbroken. He don't care. He's coming. And that's why we need to make sure we got on the whole armor of God and that we're walking according to his strength and not our own. But about Satan, he says in verse 9, whom resist? Steadfastly look how we do it in the faith. In other words, in Christ's power and not our own. Man, because if it's in my power, before you know it, it's going to be a cussing contest. And God said, no, Brother Ralph, we don't do that anymore. He says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, he's telling us, man, we're not alone. We're not the only ones going through. There are folk that are going through all throughout the United States, all throughout the world. If they know Jesus Christ as Savior, it's going to be a battle, and sometimes it's going to appear like you're losing. But please know, we are on the winning side, and we'll always be on the winning side, as long as we do the will of the one who has saved us. He goes on in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he says, you have suffered for a while, make you perfect. He says, establish, strength, settle you, or strengthen and settle you. And what he's helping us to understand, man, in all those words, he's saying, look, trouble really don't last always. That he heals you, he blesses you, he delivers you. And this is the kicker. Many times we don't want to hear it. It might be on this side, or it might be on the other side. I might have to leave here. But guess what? We ain't going to be here forever anyway. The Bible lets us know we're just sojourners passing through. And I guarantee you, everybody in here remembers when they were about 15, 16, and it seemed like you could run forever, and you went to sleep, and you opened your eyes, and here you are on the other side of 60, of 70, of 80, and you wonder where those years went. But guess what? In the midst of all of that, though your youth is going physically, hallelujah, you're still strong in the Lord, and ultimately my permanent home is heaven, and God says it's going to be much better than what we go through here on this earth. And it is. I got to believe God. And listen, although this is what I've known for 73 years, there's a home that's waiting for me, and it's in the glories. And Paul says for him to die, it would be gain. And I got to believe God on that. And it's not that I'm trying to get a bus together to get a bunch of folk, a bunch of y'all going to heaven with me right now. But please know that if that's the fix that God has for our life, it's going to be an awesome fix. He says, but the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, have that after that you have suffered for a while, make you perfect. He says, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. In the ends, he says here in verse 11, amen. He goes on, verse 12, by Silvius, a faithful brother, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein you stand. And this Silvanus is simply Silas. He was a ministry partner of Peter, also of Paul. We've seen him with him many times. And at times he would be the secretary of Peter, and he would write some of the things, some of the scripture, or at least pen what Peter would tell him to write. He was also a New Testament prophet. And listen, they wouldn't prophesy scripture, but they would tell the church of different and various things that would come to befall the church, and they would to get ready and stock up food or whatever. God would use him that way as well. In verse 13, he said, the church that is at Babylon. And by the way, some versions will say that she who is at Babylon. And he's simply talking about the church that was in Rome. It wasn't really a Babylonian church that I know of, but it was a church in Rome, and that's what he's speaking of. He says, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. And he's talking about John Mark, and he's Peter's spiritual son. We know at one point, him and Paul fell out because he took off and left the mission field for whatever reason. But he finally got back in right stead with Paul. And we know in 2 Timothy 4:11, he mentioned him and told him to bring Mark because he's profitable for me. So they didn't keep that thing, that man on forever. They got right as God would have them to get right. And he says in verse 14, greet ye one another with the kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. And it closes out this book, or this section of this book, with a mighty amen. And by the way, Peter was killed shortly after penning these epistles. And the historian Josephus would have it that he was not only crucified, but he did not want to be crucified right side up, but upside down, because he wasn't worthy to be crucified like his Savior. Guys, we'll pick up 2 Peter next week, and we'll continue in our study in this great book. Please mind what God is saying to us through this word. As he's spoken to your heart, in particular about some passages of this sermon, please bear them or take them to bear to your heart and do what he's called you to do. We're Christians, and we're to conduct and live our lives as Christians. And we're no longer to bow to the whims and the ways of the world. Amen. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study. We thank you for this service together today, Father God. We thank you for each and every one that has come out, Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll touch and bless and have touched and blessed them in a mighty and a special way. We know of all those on our prayer list. And Father God, we know that many are traveling. Kathleen's traveling, and her daughter Mikkel is going through some things. Lord, we ask that you look in on her, bless her. And Frank mentioned Cindy, Father God, as she's tending or ministering to her mom. And it's not always the perfect matchup, but Father God, look in on them and bless in a mighty and a special way. Father, we're praying for Brother Malcolm, and that's still going through some things with his health. And Lord, we just ask that you allowed it, Father God, for a purpose, for a reason. And though you worked it in, we know you're going to work it out, Lord. And we ask that you would do that in the name of Jesus Christ. And all others on our prayer list, Father God, we have a new president that's going to be coming to the White House in next year. And Lord, we don't know what you have in store for him, but we ask that your grace and mercy shine on him. And that ultimately, Lord, I don't know exactly where his heart is, but that you will bring him the faith in you as well. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Let God's church say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at New Beginnings Lamp. LAMP at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.